podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Record Label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Bonfire! Welcome, bienvenue, and another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka the Canadian Controversial Negro, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Yeah. All right. Today's date is August 9, 2026. And God damn, it's warm in here. That's because I turned off the AC. And we are at episode 359. And today I'll be talking about something that came up during my last therapy session. About how much I hate people. So, along those lines. All right. And before we do that, we will start with some quotables and some randomness. Yeah. All right. I did say quotables. Probably got into some randomness, random thoughts like I'm having right now, like this heat. Or the fact that I was pronouncing Anishinaabe, Anishinaabe the wrong way. It's Anishinaabe. Anishinaabe. Wow. I tried looking it up, and this white man was, instead of getting to the fucking point, he was... I might need to revisit the way I pronounce Anishinaabe. Is it Anishinaabe or Anishinaabe? Yeah. Or maybe the white man's language is too inferior to properly pronounce Anishinaabe. Anyways, I'll get back to you. All right, quotables. I did say quotables. Let's start with quotables. First one comes to mind is... all right. First one. I don't want peace that requires me to shut the fuck up while someone disrespects me. If your peace depends on my silence, then fuck your peace.
Message.
All right. You know, I was thinking of the first part where it says, I don't want peace that requires me to shut the fuck up. And I was thinking of Darian Targaryen. Yeah, if you don't watch House of the Dragons, you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. This particular character and the way he... the way he survives this particular character and another character, the way he survives another person, I connected to it, and he just stays silent and pretty much tells that person whatever the fuck they want to hear. And at first you're looking at him going, ah, you's a bitch. And, you might think that, but I'm seeing survival. It's just, I just know how to keep the peace. It's by letting him hear whatever the fuck he needs to hear. I also bring up House of the Dragon because I am looking forward to the season finale of today's. Today's is the season finale. I'm looking forward to that. Right, quotables. All right, next one was, apparently staying to yourself and not bothering people bothers people. It's shout out to people who shout out to people who realized at work who had to navigate around that at work. It's there's a TikTok video I could probably share about that, and it's surviving in the corporate world, and the person was okay. Let me just try to regurgitate it in my own way. On one end, you're trying to survive the corporate environment. And there are people who are, their insecurity requires you to keep talking. And your silence, even though you're doing a good job, but sometimes if you're just a silent person, it triggers people's insecurity and it causes them to say, well, you got a problem with me? That's the corporate environment. I also think I grew up in a household where I didn't realize I was an introvert, or I just didn't realize. I just knew I just liked to keep to myself and like to keep my door closed. And every once in a while, it would bother not just my parents, but my sibling. And I, what do you say, sibling? Yeah, brother. And bother them in the sense that, oh, are you mad at me? And I found myself constantly wanting to reassure them. No, it's not a madness. So I would just, I don't know if I was getting out of my comfort zone, but I would sacrifice my peace for their comfort. Yeah. Usually I don't talk a lot on quotables. All right. Last one is, two more to go. The today's top advice. Your biggest superpower is your ability to stay in a good mood no matter what's going on in your life. While others get derailed by stress and drama, you stay focused. That's what sets you apart. All right, for the last one, it's actually a 2-minute clip. I'm not going to play the whole video, but I'm just going to play the first part that's worthy of being called a quotable.
You worry too much for someone who always figures it out. Seriously, think about it. Think about that. You always figure it out when everything's falling apart. But your track record says you handle it every single time. You are basically a professional, figure-it-out kind of person at this point.
All right, the name of the content creator is Ancestor Healing Magic. Is it Marva? Marva. That's her title. And the thing is, she has a present of an elder that you want to listen to, which has been rare. Like, I remember reaching a point where I was starting to be disappointed in all my elders, in my elders, period. If they weren't being homophobic, they were just being stuck on the good old days or how this generation sucks. Like, no one was spitting fucking wisdom. And then here this woman shows up on my TikTok timeline, and just her presence alone. I think the kids are calling it aura now or whatever, but her presence, there's something about, I don't know if it's her words that got my attention or just her presence. Anyways, the links will be in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. And her words were refreshing. Again, Ancestor Healing Magic Marva. Know and remember. All right. And ancestral healing, generational legacy. More info below. Start here. All right. Yeah. So shout out to her. But this is gonna connect to one of the randomness that I have in store. But before we get to that, let me introduce. All right, let's get to randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Did y'all hear that? That was my stomach growling. I'm right. A lot of you can't tell because I'm not doing the visual thing. Yeah, I'm a big dude. I believe it's the medical term is obese. And I'm hungry. not that it matters to you, but it's more the fact that I told myself I'm gonna record, then eat. What I didn't anticipate is this motherfucker won't shut the fuck up. But I'll tough it out. I mean, it's like, you know, do it for the ancestors. All right. First item on the randomness is this one is I call it put it on the vision board. What happened yesterday is I was watching a replay of a recording of a 3GO episode, one of their latest episodes, the one with, I think it'll be out tomorrow. Barad and Karen was on there, and the mine of Dominique was on there. Whatever. Oh, and Randolph was usually one of the co-hosts, just did a quick visit. And this friggin' show off. He excuse me, what you're hearing is hate going on, right? He checked in, did a quick check-in, and homeboy was like on a beach. He had like his hat on. You could tell he was in the sun. He was on some kind of beach. You could see people in the background. And it was a vacation destination. And I found myself being so envious. Not just the fact that he was on a beach, but he was checking in on his podcast, on his live recording that had several, I don't know how many people were on there, but it was at least 20 people in the chat. And there was something about that mental, like just that snapshot of that image of, I'm just checking in on the podcast. I'm on this vacation, you know what I mean? Because I got it like that. You know what I mean? I got it like that. And I just thought there was something powerful about that image. It's interesting to them. They might not consider themselves a successful podcast because, I mean, I don't know. But I do know they constantly trying to expand and they say shit like, hey, tell your friends. I guess there's still room for growth. They're still thinking about growth. But to me, that moment right there, I would have considered success. To me, that's success on its own. Nothing succeeds like success. And so, I just found myself, I was tempted to type in, to write in about that, but I don't think it would make sense to them. But for me, that, when you think of the power of visualization, that's what would it take to go from where I am now to, I'm on vacation checking in on my podcast. Yo, won't you know? I'm doing all right. You know what I mean? Nigga, you ain't up on this. But yeah, anyway, I'm congratulating while hating, because that's how I do.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes. Have you ever y'all generate this new generation. This is what happened. I recently discovered the new Jack City soundtrack. Now, I did watch the movie. I can't remember if I saw it in theaters, but I do remember. I'm old enough to be around when it came out. And I likely saw it in theaters. Because, you know, when you live in Ottawa and a black movie or a movie that has black people in there, you jump on that shit. I don't care if it's a chick flick. Fuck that. Sure, you support the brothers, but, you know, as a black person, you're so desperate to see representation. Like, you just jump to it. Fuck it. What? Siskel and Ebert gave it a thumbs down? Fuck them. What? The ratings are low? Fuck white folks. Fuck it. You go to watch. Anyways, that's not the point. But it does frequent. I should have known the soundtrack was going to be dope. Anyways, I only recently discovered it. And yes, it is great. It is a great soundtrack. And I'm just bringing it up. Like, I just added this randomness because I was, as I was preparing for today, for this episode, I was listening to the soundtrack and it was dope. Now, what got me to discover, to check in on the soundtrack is on my timeline, my YouTube timeline. Goddamn algorithm. There's AI in that algorithm, right? But whatever, man. But it posted 18, there was a video that showed up as 18 weird facts about New Jack City you never knew. And I thought, it was always there. I just never clicked on it. And I found myself clicking on it. And it's pretty much all the a whole bunch of decisions that were made that led into this successful movie. Like, for instance, the part of by Ice-T. Wait, how did they decide that? The part by Ice-T was, they nearly decided, Ice-T nearly was going to be Nino Brown because he was the gangster rapper, and Nino Brown was going to be the cop. I think Nino Brown, Jesus Christ, I'm really going to blank out on his name on a black podcast where I say, oh, really? How embarrassing. Nino Brown. You know what? This is what happens when you consume a lot of marijuana. oh my God. Wesley Snipes, Jesus Christ, I swear. I Googled it, but it came back while the result was coming back. Yes, I'm not that mess. All right, so yeah. So Wesley Snipes was supposed to play Ice-T's role, and Ice-T was supposed to play Wesley Snipes. But Van Peeble, the writers, the folks involved in New Jack City, they were like, nah, we want we want Wesley Snipes to be the villain in this one. It caught people. It was a brand new. I just like creative ideas, that successful creative ideas. I like hearing about successful creative ideas, creative decision, or how there's a spoiler alert. There's a chase scene at the beginning of the movie. There's a chase scene between Ice-T and Chris Rock, and initially it was supposed to be a car scene, but it turned out to be a bike scene, and I'm like, wow. That bike chase was amazing. The movie starts out with a bike chase. And I couldn't picture it as a car chase. But it's amazing these decisions that were made. Kind of like The Matrix. It was initially supposed to be Will Smith. But Keanu Reeves. But he turned down the role. I can't picture Will Smith as Neo. But it is what it is. All this to say, wow, New Jack City. So links will be in the show notes. I'm telling you, check out the soundtrack if you haven't already. If you have already, whoa, I guess you're better than me. But I should have known. It's one of those things I should have known the soundtrack was going to be dope because I was enjoying the music in the movie. Anyway, I said what I needed to say.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, if you can't tell, part of my attempt to randomness is my attempt to like not over-explain things. It's a practice, me trying to practice not over-explaining things. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. All right, the next two randomness are jokes. One is a bit, okay, the first one is something I read and I thought it was funny. All right, so someone posted this. I imagine this is Twitter, and the guy goes, his name is Pascal. He goes, at a job training, my boss asked how we are different. It's not funny. If you laugh, you're fucking racist towards Haitians, especially white people, man. So black people, prejudice against Haitians, and white people, you just racist. So stop. Don't fucking laugh. All right, let me try again. At a job training, my boss asked how we are different. This Haitian man said, Willie Jones. It's good. I'm fucking up the joke. Willie Jones. Everyone says, who is Willie Jones? He said, no, not a man. Willie Jones. All have diff belief. I'm like, are you saying religion? He said, yes, Willie Jones. I laughed so hard, I got kicked out. You're fucking racist, Pascal. Oh, he's Haitian. Anything you said about the Haitians, man. Some folks might laugh and some might fuck you up. Especially if you grew up sensitive about your accent or people. I thought it was funny. Some responded, Haitian accents are hilarious to me. And I needed this laugh. This accent is so authentic and their Creole is beautiful. Oh, thank you. All right, yeah. Look, I'm just saying, yo, when you grow up Haitian, you're so used to people talking shit about you. It can be your own people. It can be the media. You're just so used to being attacked that even when it comes up to a funny joke. Why you say? Why you? Okay, that was a bad Haitian. Sauting, but some of us are a little sensitive about jokes. All right, that's what I'm gonna say. I'm also reminded that Wyclef did a similar joke or had a similar joke. I forget the name of the comedian. But he's got a similar joke on his album, one of his last track, and the character kept saying Bishop, Bishop. He goes, who the hell is Bishop? And why doesn't he understand? Bishop, Bishop, not true or false. Bishop is, oh, bullshit. Weep. Stop fucking making fun of the Haitian accent, all right?
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, this next one is a skit, is a bit, and I'm just going to play it. Because I felt it was worthy of people's attention. Tradwife joke. I call it the Tradwife joke by Jessica Levin.
Tradwife means traditional wife. You don't make money. If you want to be a tradwife, fine, then go be a tradwife and shut the fuck up. Why am I hearing you talk? You can't. Fuck you all. You want to be a cunt and go take me 10 years back. You shouldn't have an LLC, all right? Trad wives don't get 1099s, all right? They get black eyes. That's what a trad wife does.
Shout out to you, Jessica Levine. Is that, yeah, did I say that right? Jessica Levine. Levine. All right. That kind of joke fits perfectly in the type of jokes I like. One, makes you think. B, touches on a serious topic. C, it throws in a criticism about trad wife while making it funny. And what was that? A, B, C, D, E, whatever, man. The last one is dark humor. Dark, especially when it ends with she made a good point. Like, it ended with everyone going, oh, while laughing. It's like, oh, man, don't make us laugh at that. But I'm just saying, it's on, if you were to design the kind of jokes that I like, this funny, makes you think, and it touches on a dark, it ends, you know, oh, man, oh, you're making fun of domestic abuse. Nah, trad wife. We trad wife. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. So shout out to Jessica Levine. Link will be in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. Because I'm linking the Reddit post that I got it from. And in the comment section, you'll be able to find more details about her. There's a link to her YouTube page.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, happy belated Chair-teenth. Chair-teenth, right? The Montgomery Ball. It's got, you know what? Let me look it up. I think it's got several names to it. Chair-teenth. Excuse me. How? Chair. I don't know how to spell teenth. I hate the English language. Teen. No. All right. This thing is giving me dentist shit. Happy. Chair teeth. All right. Oh, chair teeth. This motherfucker thinks I'm trying to say teeth. Yeah. All right. Let me try the Montgomery Brawl. And there we go. Wikipedia. And let's see how the nickname. Does it have any nickname? Caused by. Nope. Large scale Montgomery Ball. Anyways, happy belated. I did record on the 5th. And yeah, minus one on my black card. And I forgot to mention the fact that I recorded on the same day. Yeah, August 5th, 2023, 3 years ago, of the Montgomery Riverfront Brawl. And yeah, it was showing up on my timeline. Some folks refer to it as Chair Teeth. Some folks, I don't have all the nicknames. Ah, well, okay, didn't come prepared. Anyway, I like watching that clip. I watched that video with fondness. It reminded me of a time when I went in in high school. I purposely chose a high school that had black kids there. That's another conversation we can have there. We can have. And yeah, one of the phenomenons of being surrounded by going to a school with a lot of black kids was, well, it was a culture shock for all of us, for white and black kids. one of my favorite moments is white kids learning how the one way to not engage a black dude in a one-on-one fight is by calling him the N-word. White kids learned the hard way. Anyway, they ate some racist shit. And then, you know, I'll see you outside, nigger. Oh, wow. So words were, this was before the internet, kids. Oh, my God. This was before the internet. Word about would get across the school. And black kids from 9, 10, 11, and 12th grade. 13, too. That's right. That was back in the days where we had 13. I'm that old. Anyways, yeah, the 13th grade, black kids would show up, Christian, Muslim. It was a lot of Muslim back then. Well, not in that school. It was a Catholic school. At yeah, if you were a Muslim, go to a Catholic school, the teacher would look at you weird. Especially, Catholic French school. That's not the point. Anyway, so black kids from the many grades would show up, boys, girls, oh man, kids from other high schools would show up. And it was more the look on the white dude's face going, hey, it's not fair, one-on-one. Nah, man, you pissed off the ancestors with that one. There was one time skinheads would show up, and then, yep, and they would usually be outnumbered. Yeah, the white kids didn't know, man. There was a lot of anger, not just from our history, but just in general, just like, the tables are turned. We're tied no more. Back in the days, maybe there was a time where it'd be the one black kid and you get to call him nigger and you get to beat the shit out of him in front of your friend. Yeah, nigger, what are you gonna do about it? And then high school came up, all that anger came from him. It was just funny seeing these white kids being confused on, what the fuck? I was calling Jerome a nigger, not you. Right. Anyways, watching the Montgomery Riverfront Brawl just took me back to those days in high school where a kid would learn the hard way not to use the N-word to have a one-on-one fight with a black kid.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, I'm taking my time on this randomness. All right, this next one is, I'm actually going to read it. Tuskegee University implements a dress code policy for students, all right? And this is the Journals of Blacks in Higher Education site, HBCUs. And it goes, Tuskegee University President Mark A. Brown recently announced a new dress code policy for students. Beginning the upcoming semester, the new dress code requires students to wear business suits and appropriate shoes for business meetings and other professional occasions. Additionally, students are not allowed to wear revealing clothing, as well as bedroom shoes, bonnet, do-rags in classroom, dining spaces, and official university settings. The goal here is not meant to restrict students from enjoying the Tuskegee experience, but to prepare them with a solid foundation for the workforce they will enter once they leave Tuskegee. President Brown wrote in a message to parents of upcoming first-year students. In addition to new dress code requirements, the Alabama HBCU has also established strict cell phone attendance policy. Students are no longer allowed to use their cell phones in class unless directed by a professor, and devices must be turned off during instructions. Furthermore, President Brown says the university plans to monitor classroom attendance more closely. All right. First of all, yay! For myself. You see the way I read that shit? All right. I'm proud of myself. All right. Tap on the back. Usually I stutter a lot. Whatever. On Shutter Podcast, I celebrate small victories. And these were one of them. All right. Got through that one. Second, while I was reading, I was debating on what I wanted to share on this podcast. And then I reminded myself, it's my goddamn podcast. All right, so this is a space for my thoughts. All right, because I'm going to say something that some of you may not like. Well, first, let me establish that this is a controversial topic in the black community. So much that I knew it was a topic that even me and my barber and I, we were talking about it. Speaking of high school, I went to a high school that had a uniform. And all the uniform, because, you know, I'm in high school. I'm a teen. That's all I did. All that uniform did is give me something to break the rules. I spent more times going, hey, look. And they were like, hey, look, man. No, some of us would modify our pants so it was more baggy. And so it would sag, and the teacher would like, nah, knock that shit out. I remember, I wore shoes. You're supposed to wear black shoes. I wore one that had like, this again, the 90s, right? So it had like a metal cover. Basically, the same shoes that Bobby Brown had, you will be there. Every little step I take will be, anyway, right of it. Yeah, so I had shoes that looked like that. Was that the video? Well, it doesn't matter, but I was like, yeah, you can't wear it. Here my point is, Okay, first let me start, because this is the part where I was debating. I was never a big fan of pajamas. Not a fan. I want to be clear, right? Hold on, right? Pajamas, bonnet, do-rags, whatever. No, pajamas, slippers being worn in public. All right? I'm going to put that out there, all right? Hate me. If you're going to hate me, then hate me. But I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm fucking old. I'm an old person. I still remember being the young person and wondering, I wonder what that thing is that's going to make me, that the kids, the newer generation are going to do, that's going to make me react like my parents or like the older folks. I couldn't picture it. Finally, I got to pajamas in public. What the fuck? Oh my God. Especially with slippers out of play. It drives me nuts. But not to the point where I want to do something about it, but just enough for me to be like, ah, that's that. Now, just enough for me to be like, oh, so that's how my parents felt when I came home with a high top. Right? So I'm acknowledging the fact that I'm old and I'm on the way out. It's their world. So I'm acknowledging the fact that they say things like they're doing this to help kids take their looks seriously. And I'm like, okay, first, I guess I should establish that when I share that thought about slippers, I'm PJs, I'm not to the point where I would tell kids to do it. I'm just doing it. I'm just acknowledging that, yeah, no, I get it. You damn kids, pull your pants up. This is my pull your pants up. But not to the point where I'm telling people what to do, right? So, I just forgot the part I was about to make. So I guess to me, it's this whole enforcing of dress codes. I don't agree with the idea that we're doing that to teach kids to take their looks seriously. Like, come on, man. It's comfort. It's kids will figure it out. I'm also not a big fan, politics of respectability. I'm not a fan of politics of respectability of, oh, wear suits and people will respect you. I grew up in a church and I noticed a pattern. The more thought a man put into his outfit, the bigger the sinner. It was always the dude with a wife and several side chicks, or who's banging the underage, I don't know, a member of the choir. Like, there was always, like, the more they dressed up, the bigger their Bible, the more you'll be like, if you follow them around, you'll find out they're doing shit that they're not supposed to be doing. And the other thing, too, is I think of, like, the Republican Party or the Conservative Party. They're the party of look the part. You know, businessmen, politicians, they all wear nice clothing to hide the fact that they're terrible human beings. So I guess my concern, my idea is, I know some folks out there, they're just, to them, they value presentation. I get it. This is me trying to say that I get it. This is important to you. My problem has always been presentation to hide the content. I would rather we became a society where we valued content, character, more than presentation. Okay, so you know what? As much as presentation. That's what I'm trying to get at. Let's not teach kids to, wear a suit so you can hide the fact that once I get elected, I am going to rip off the taxpayer. I am going to be funding a lot of my side checks are going to be able to pay for dental work for their kids. You know what I mean? I want that balance. That's
just my thought. So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. So the final piece of randomness, and wow, it's gonna be a podcast where I've longer than usual. All right. Final piece of randomness is this is just me to celebrate the fact that I finally finished the book Children of Blood and Bones. Yay! And in case you're one of those people who needs to make that distinction, yes, by finishing the book, I mean, I finished the audiobook. I shouldn't give a care, but it doesn't matter. But I purposely mentioned the fact that I finished the audiobook because I also needed to praise Tommy Adeyemi, and who is the author of the book, and Barney Turpin. I would pronounce it Turpin, but she got a French last name, but I'm going to assume they pronounce it in English. So Barney Turpin, who is the narrator of the audiobook. Yes, bravo, bravo, bravo. Oh, man. Let's give these two an award. I mean, I'm sure they've gotten awards. They're getting I read that Bonnie Turpin, the narrator, got an award for doing narration, and Tommy, the author of the book, well, her book is going to be in a movie. And yeah, talent. I think that I purposely put besides their name, I put the word in uppercase letter talent. T-A-L-E-N-T. That's how you spell talent, right? And it doesn't matter. All right, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, check it out. You should check it out, and especially the narrator. Oh, my God. What makes it amazing is not just the way she represents these characters, but her ability to do different voices, different impressions. There, yeah. She does an impression of the main character, Zelie, who's, and her brother. and you just, there was never a time where I found myself saying, hey, this is an actress playing the part. No, she was the part. And initially at the beginning of the quotables, I shared one of my quotables was about, how did I say it again? You worry too much for someone who always has it figured out. Yo, that's the main character. That that quote, I connected, resonated with me, and also applies to the main character of this book. There were so many characters that had things in there that I either admire, connected to, or just enjoyed, but I think one of them was Inan, who is, you know what, I'm not going to spoil. I so badly want to just talk freely about the book, but I'm, one of the characters in the book has a moment where they struggle with their identity, and the way they struggle in their identity had me connecting to it, but I'll leave that to you for you to enjoy. So yeah, overall, man, great book. Shout out to whoever recommended it to me. And I think I might read I'm looking forward to the movie. Well, I'm looking forward, but also like, don't fuck this up. Anyways, yeah. And I might read the sequel. See, this is my process. I always do that to myself. I always say that, yeah, oh, there's a sequel out there. Nah, I might check it out. I don't know because, you know, I don't like being disappointed. But so I tell myself that I'm not going to read it, but I am. And I look forward to tell you all about it. So with all that said, this concludes. We're done with quotables and randomness. Let's jump to final say. But before we do that, before I do that, I'm going to take a quick break. All right. I just noticed that I only complained about being hungry once on today's episode. All right. Okay. So let's do this. Final say. Today's thought. How did I introduce it? Okay. So at my last therapy session, what came up is, it connected to the last episode. It's funny how I always forget the names of my own episodes or how to type the name of it, right? And it was titled Addressing the Mad Public. Right. Adjusted IRR. I love that title. And the mad public was just the realization that there's certain people that I can keep it real with. And that's a minority, a very strong minority people. And everyone else, I always feel like I'm doing a performance. I get a little deeper in it, but I remember leaving that episode and being like, I need to share this in my next therapy session. And, well, first thought was, the thought I didn't share in the last episode was the realization that, damn, that's a lonely life. Yeah, I did. I'm not complaining. This ain't me like, poor me, whatever, but it's the acknowledgement that life does feel lonely, but not lonely to a point where you're like, it's tolerated. It's a loneliness that's tolerated. It's a loneliness that's just accepted. If that makes any sense. It makes sense to me, so to this podcast, it's up to you to try to make sense of it. All right, so I found myself leaving the last session asking the million-dollar question, how do people my age make connections? Right, this is, I went on Meetup. It's funny. I actually Googled, just out of sheer curiosity. No, I Googled Black Neurodivergent Ottawa. And everything that came up was like therapy shit, therapy this, therapy that. I'm like, fuck. And what I was like, a mean gathering for people like that. But even when I remember when I convinced myself that I'm a black nerd, then I met other black nerds and I went from being like, oh, well, it turns out I'm not as black or nerdy as they are. It's the reminder of never fitting in one category. So yeah, how do people my age still make connections? And one point that I wrote was, I'm about to talk about a problem that I'm not necessarily interested in a solution. You know, when I step on that scale and notice that I'm like, damn, you're fat. But I'm not at the point where I'm like, want to do something about it. Do you know what I mean? I guess some folks are, shout out to you if you're one of those people that you see a problem and you solve it. No, for me, it's I got to deal with the problem until I no longer want to deal with the problem anymore. Once I get to that point, once I'm like, okay, a problem is actually a problem, then I'm like, hey, now I'm open to solutions. I remember that when I actually went into therapy, I had reached a point where I'm like, yeah, I'm desperate. Where I'm like, I'm just crawling. Like, it was enough for me to, like, not overthink the idea. So, yeah. So, I'm about to talk about a problem that I am not necessarily interested in a solution. Because I started with the question, how do people my age make connections? And I'm sure if I like Googled it, or I'm sure there's someone out there who's like, who can give me 10 answers to that one. And my first thought will be like to dismiss them all. And it's not because they're bad ideas or not good enough. It's just I am not at the point where I'm actually trying to fix it. But I do find myself reflecting on, is it possible it might be too late? During the session, we talked about things like, you know, it was another reminder of, oh, you know, getting yourself out there. But the idea of putting myself out there is like, eh. So it's two things, putting myself out there and opening myself up to possibilities. I feel like I've reached a point, an age where I've managed to convince myself, even though I know it's not true, but I've managed to convince myself there's no magic. Every human being I'm going to cross, I know what you're gonna say. I know what you're gonna talk. Or I've already accepted the possibility that it's just gonna be a disappointment. Not to say that people are disappointment. Sorry, my first thought was the hurt feelings of saying, "Oh, you call it a disappointment." I'm just saying, but it's just more like it's like movies. I used to love watching movies. Now my first instinct is how, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. I think that's the challenges of growing old, is because you've made up your mind that nothing will impress you. I get it. And if you tell yourself that, then nothing will impress you. But I can't turn on that part that's open up to wonders. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, no, I found myself thinking about how do people my age still make new connections, or when the person trying to make new connection is close to the idea of the possibilities of making new connections. I did think about how the few times I put myself out there, and that's but not even that's not true. But I'm like, you know, therapy office, going to work. Like the few times where I will cross path with people, work, barbershop. But even there, I do appointments now. And it's not like before. There used to be a part of me that enjoyed new connections. And now it's not like it used to be. Like, I don't know if I need to revive it or whatever, but I think it's just dead. It's not there like it used to be. Wow. Oh my God. Sorry. I just had a thought that reminded me of the new character, of the main character. The magic is not me anymore. Oh my God. I just had a similar, okay, I'm about to, no, I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm just, by me saying, if you read the book, you'll understand what I mean by it's not me in it, that thing is not in me anymore. All right, I'm realizing that I'm talking more than I need to, but because the core question is, how do people my age make new connections? The one thing I did realize while thinking of that question was how much this podcast is an attempt. It's not an effective one. It's not the greatest idea, but I'm realizing this podcast is an attempt to put myself out there. But my problem by doing it is like it's kind of like wanting to date someone, and you create a blog. That's what it is. I created a blog when I should be on a dating app. Or something like that. Maybe I think that's what it is. Is how do people my age make new connection? It's deciding to. And right now I'm kind of fronting in doing that. This is, final thought is just, is the realization that at first I was like beating myself up for not having genuine ideas. Not just genuine ideas, but worthwhile shit to talk about. Most of the things that I talk about are just thoughts and feelings, or my response to thing. And I was beating myself up going, no one wants to hear that shit. You need to like live an exciting life to talk about it. There's a podcast that I sometimes occasionally listen to. It's The Mundane Festival by Chris Lambert. He's a comedian. And a lot of what I do here is model of what he does on his own podcast. And it's just, he sometimes he'll have a guest on, but for his solo podcast, he talks about just shit going on in his life. Could be dating, could be his comedy thing, and could be just new experience. I went for a travel right there. And then and I noticed, I'm like, see, that's something to talk about. So I got myself caught up in comparisons and whatnot. Look, I think I'm giving you this long story to say that I just reached a point of realization of I'm not making new connections, and I'm evaluating whether that's a problem. I'm also, I think when I finally reached a point where I'm like, because it's a problem, maybe that might be when I'll probably get back into comedy or whatnot. Because if I were to get back to comedy, I would have more interesting shit to talk about on this podcast. But I'm not there yet. Anyways, I'm not there yet. It is what it is. This is where, meet me where I'm at. This is me meeting the problem or where I'm at, and you take it from there. One thing I know for sure is beat myself up won't help. With all that said, this concludes today's episode 359. I'm going to make a big deal when I get to 360. Again, website is shutuppodcast.com. That's where you'll find all the show notes. That's where you'll find all the show notes. And email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. As always, holla if you hear me. Meaning if I said anything on today's episode that resonated, holla if you hear me. It'd be nice just to like share thoughts, commiserate, or like, I really want to hear like, yeah, either that's where I am in my life, or I've been there and this is how I dealt with it. Shut Up Podcast, 401@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. So I don't want to hear shit about you complaining about, oh, you said you don't like bonnets in public? Or you don't like pajamas in public? Hey, do you? Do you? Sorry, I'm defending myself right after just saying that this is a safe space for my thoughts. This is my way of saying you're the one who hit the play button. And those thoughts are protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.